The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Democratic strategist James Carville says that Democrats have a, quote, wokeness problem, and, quote, we all know it, adding the party needs to talk about racial issues using the language of everyday Americans. Speaking with Vox in an interview published Tuesday, Carville said that Democrats often discuss racial issues using language that is alienating to some of the communities they are trying to reach. Carville said, quote, wokeness is a problem and everyone knows it. It's hard to talk to anyone today, and I talk to lots of people in the Democratic Party who doesn't say this, but they don't want to say it out loud.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's a surprising statement, but I do want to talk about it. I think today's a great opportunity to maybe unpack for you this word that has now become inculcated into the culture. It might be part of your own lexicon. I'm not sure whether or not you know the term woke. You hear about wokeness all the time. The word is used. You know, the word used to be the past tense of the past participle, if I can get the words out of my mouth, of the verb wake, right? Like, hey, I woke up this morning. I'm still pretty tired, right? Not anymore. I love words. I love how they can be redefined, how they can take on new meaning. Look up the word today. Go to the Merriam Dictionary, right? Go to Webster's. Here's the first definition you get. And I'm going to quote it for you. I did this just a few minutes ago. Quote, chiefly U.S. slang. Aware of and actively attentive to the important facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice, end of quote. That's how we are now defining the term woke. According to them, the first usage of the term happened, guess when? Not this year, not during the pandemic. Happened all the way back in 1972. That was an eye-opener for me, too. I was shocked. It seems like it came into being vogue in just, I don't know, the past year or two. That's when I really began to hear it. And had to say, what's woke mean? What's all this wokeness? And now it's part of our language, right? You turn on your evening news, hear that term all the time. But the you know, in the short amount of time, being woke, you know, has overtaken so much of our culture. I mean, educationally, and we've talked about this, you now have woke math, where policing patterns are used as examples for math problems. What? Yeah, that's the educational system we have. We have policing patterns are used to teach math. That's called woke math. Of course, you've got the state of Illinois telling teachers that they have to embrace, they have to encourage progressive viewpoints and perspectives. You got to do that in your classroom. Right? That's not just, you know, education. It's been embraced in politics. It's been embraced in entertainment. It's been embraced in media. Unfortunately, even in some churches. Jake and I were talking before the show, and he was sharing with me a comedian named Ryan Long. And he says the woke culture has even infiltrated comedy. Jake, you gotta share this. I mean, it's a great piece from Fox News. Why don't we run this?
That's kind of the thing. You go to clubs and normal people just kind of want to see comedy. And comedy is sort of a casualty in this whole, you know, war that's going on or whatever, because, mm-hmm. you know, people want to tell you what you can't say, and comedians have a tendency to say the things you're not supposed to say. So they want to stop that. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's like you're just trying to make funny things and people are going to have a problem with that. And that's fine. They're allowed to.
Yeah, was it you, Jake, that was telling me about a movie that today would never be remade?
Well, I don't think it's just one movie. It's just like so many movies. But the one in particular that I mentioned to you, Drew, was an Eddie Murphy movie, yeah. Coming to America. I watched it recently, and I was just like, oh my goodness. Now, some of the scenes, like, I will say are probably more racist and, you know, mm-hmm. should not have happened. But at the same time, I just think this culture is getting so serious, we don't know how to laugh at ourselves. Yeah. We take everything racist, and it kind of just becomes like the boy who cried wolf, where you start to just tune it out, you know?
Yeah go ahead, Patrick.
I do wonder, Jake, I don't know if you watched the sequel that just came out, if that had the same kind of connotations or anything like that. Did you ever get to watch
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
That came out this year, so I don't know.
Did you see it, Patrick?
No, I have not, so I was wondering if Jake saw the sequel.
Because, I mean, humor is one thing. I think we should have a little more liberty when it comes to humor and not be so politically correct all the time, but I don't know. It might be hard. You and I were talking about Disney as well, Jake, right?
Well, yeah, and it's no secret that Disney is woke, right? But, like, Disney World now, this is supposed to be the family vacation that everyone enjoys, but there is a recent op-ed, a guy from Tampa Bay, he said, hey, I'm a conservative Republican, I'm a Christian, and I still like Disney. So he says, I've been taking my family to Disney World for quite some time now, but he says, I'm starting to get tired of it. He says, they're putting politics over fun.
Wow.
You know, and you look at some of the things, you know, Disney World recently decided to go in full-fledged, you know, inclusivity by right. allowing people to have whatever haircut they want and right. have whatever gender expression they want. So, you know, you see this from a guy who likes Disney World, but he's like, I'm getting tired of it, and I don't know if I want to go anymore. So, yeah. I mean, it's just, when do you draw the line, you know?
Yeah, I think you're not alone, Jake. I think there's a lot of people who probably feel that way. I saw the news report earlier today. It's gotten so bad that James Carville, and if you're not familiar with him, he's a former advisor to Bill Clinton. He said that, and you heard it in the clip that Jake ran at the top of the hour, he says that wokeness is a problem that, and everybody knows it, right? It's not just a Republican thing. Wokeness is a problem and everyone knows it. He says it's hard to talk to anybody today. He says, I talk to a lot of people in the Democratic Party who don't say this, but they don't want to say it out loud. You know, so he sees it. Look, he summed up what's wrong with the idea, I think, pretty well. Here's what he said to Vox. He said, they come up with a word like Latinx, right, that no one else uses, or they use a phrase like communities of color. That's the new term that's being bantered about. He says, I don't know anybody who speaks like that. Do you speak like that? You know, he says, I don't know anyone who lives in a community of color. He says, I know a lot of white and black people, brown people, and they all live in neighborhoods, right? They live in neighborhoods. There's nothing inherently wrong with those phrases. But this is not how people talk. He says, this is not how voters talk. And doing it anyway is a signal that you're talking one language, and the people you want to vote for you, they're speaking another. He says, this stuff is harmless in one sense, but in another sense, it's not. This guy is a guy who knows how to read the winds when it comes to politics. I'm joined right now by somebody who's a great cultural analyst. Thank you, Jake. I can't speak today. She started a website called Person and Identity, and we had one of her colleagues on the other day. Dr. Farnan was here, and they're two of my favorites because they have their finger on the pulse of what's happening in the culture. And it's always a delight to have Mary Rice Hassan with us. She's a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center as well, and also directs the Catholic Women's Forum. Good to have you back, Mary. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much. Wonderful to be on with you.
Boy, let's talk wokeness, all right? You were one of the names I threw out to my producing team this morning when this topic came up. I said, well, who should we get to talk about? I said, Mary Rice Hassan. I love her. I mean, she'd be perfect on this. Where did this whole idea of being woke originate? Where did it come about, and why did it take traction today? Why did it take root today?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I was reading a column by a guy named James Lindsay, who comes out of academia and is now a commentator. And he used a phrase which I think captures things perfectly. He said, wokeness is sort of a lab leak from academia. It kind of escaped from the radical classrooms and theories and research and stuff from the left-wing academies, the universities. Yeah. And so what we've seen is what used to be theory that everyone would say, oh, this is kind of nuts, is now becoming the dominant force in our culture. So I was struck by your monologue, you know, the disappearance of comedy. And I just did a quick brainstorm about what we're losing because of this wokeness. And I think we lose comedy, we lose nuance, we lose the idea of mistakes and forgiveness.
Yeah.
We lose the idea of fairness, equality, truth. I mean, all of these things are going by the board.
Yeah, I'm curious about the transition. So here we are now, but will the pendulum, which has swung to this extreme, will it go back in the other direction? And what will it take to ultimately do that? Or I don't know why the culture has bought into this. I think part of it's the media who keeps mm-hmm. using this and advancing this, as James Carville points out. You know, he thinks it's a problem. But where are we now? I mean, we got here now, but is this just a temporary thing, or do you think that the pendulum will swing back?
Well, I hope the pendulum swings back. I think one of the problems is that when you combine this wokeness, this idea that some people are, as I heard one person explain it, literally awake. They see something yep. that everyone else doesn't see, and therefore they feel superior and their view has to prevail. Once you combine that with cancel culture, you know, which is another whole thing, you really have two things going on. You have people who are going to be self-censoring, afraid to say anything for fear of being accused of racism or something. And you're going to have this growing power of those who are enforcing this wokeness. Yeah. And the two sort of feed off each other. So, you know, on the one hand, I see good signs, like just James Carville saying that. Yeah, and there are others. On Twitter, you can see people who normally you would not call conservatives, but who are, especially some journalists, for example, and some people in academia who are calling this out and saying, you know, what is going on that people no longer have the freedom to simply speak, say something?
Such a good point. Yeah, is that such a good point? Because you're so right. You're punished if you are not politically correct or if you're not woke. So how does one go about being woke enough? I think of the Harry Potter author, J.K. Rowling, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, I forget how long it was, a couple months ago, maybe it was even last year, I don't remember. The mob turned on her when she wouldn't support transgenderism. And so she got punished for that. I mean, what happened to tolerance? You know, it's a very intolerant ideology, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think because wokeness is really about power, it's about people who are claiming power and claiming the right to decide what other people can say or not say or how they can be and what language they need to use. It's a shifting terrain. So you see an evolving standard. You see people who probably were patting themselves on the back 6 months ago for being woke who will then become casualties. And so that's one of the problems here. It's a slippery thing, and those who are in power write the rules.
Right.
You know, the rules of wokeness, if you will, are ever evolving, and they're not not transparent, and they're determined from those who have put themselves in the position of being the woke czars.
Look, let's take a few calls for you today, too. If you want to get in, I only have Mary Rice Hassett for a few minutes today on this side of the hour. If you want to get in, the number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're talking about the invasion of wokeness if you're just joining us right now. And a lot of people have noted that this so-called woke ideology, which views inequality as an intolerable evil, it's often caused by racism or sexism or homophobia or the like. It almost has a religious quality to it today, and it defines good and evil. It explains life in the world, and it tells, you know, what you should aspire to and how you should act. And it's something I think that needs to be called out. It's something you need to be aware of. You have to make sure you don't swallow that poison pill, and we're just here to remove the blinders so you can see this objectively. Stephen is listening in Havertown, Pennsylvania. All right, and very familiar with that area. He's wants to join the conversation. Stephen, hi. You're on the air with Mary Rice Hassan. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Love your show.
Thanks.
I think we just have to stop giving our money to these people. If Facebook, Twitter, Coca-Cola comes to mind, all these professional sports who are trying to shove this wokeness down our throat, and just stop letting them get our capital through watching TV, using their products, and all of the sort of that.
Oh, great comment. So
that's about it.
I know. I appreciate it. Thanks for sounding off and joining us. So he's saying, hey, let's stop funding these organizations that push us. What can we do? I mean, because sometimes I feel powerless. I said to my wife the other day as I was watching the news, and I'm thinking, oh, this is so insane. I said, thank God I have a microphone. You know, thank God I can at least let my voice be heard and bring some sanity to the culture. But, you know, like Stephen says, okay, stop supporting this. What are some of the things we can do? I think Stephen's point was a good one.
Yeah, I think it is a good one. I think people need to speak up, and that's one of the risky things in this culture that's swept up by wokeness. I thought your comments a few minutes earlier where you said it's sort of quasi-religious, it's defining good and evil. I think you are spot on, because that's the danger. If you're tagged as not being woke, you are tagged as evil, and there's no redemption. And that's a scary thing. So, I mean, ultimately, how do you combat wokeness? Conversion of heart. Yeah. But I think in the meantime, it's also a matter of speaking up, using your money wisely, making your views known, and not backing down. I mean, some of this is just, you need to stand up and face and call things out.
Here's the thing, though, and this is why I marvel at how this is just, it has grown. Wokeness has now obtained a position of dominance in significant social institutions. And I'm thinking like the Department of Homeland Security or the American Mathematical Society. I mean, how can math, of all things that we can talk about, I mean, how can that be woke? I mean, it's bizarre, you know, and you know, of course, our educational systems, as you point out, it comes out of that. I saw a story, or I was reading somewhere, where one example of wokeness right now, currently the mean SAT score, I think, is 1104, right, which I thought was pretty high for white students, right? It's 924 for black students. So, you know, what do those figures show, you know, and how does wokeness get applied to that? Is there something wrong with the test takers? Is there something wrong with the test? Is there something wrong with you know, black or Latinx children, you know, and are these tests racist? I mean, this is the type of stuff that we get. It's bizarre that we look at something that's so objective that is no longer viewed that way.
Right. And it's one thing to look at a disparity in scores. And if you're concerned about equality, which is what we all used to be in favor of, and now it's become equity. But if you're concerned about equality, you want to make sure that people have what they need to succeed. But you recognize that there are different complications or different talents or different advantages that people have, but you can't engineer all of that. And what equity tries to do, the whole woke culture where you're trying to reverse engineer things, is that if there's a disparity in outcome, the conclusion is there must be injustice, right. And therefore we've got to fix it to try to make things equal in terms of outcome or the same in terms of outcome. But that doesn't solve the problem. You know, a disparity in SAT scores, for many of these situations, it reflects the fact that you've got low income, you've got families that are single parents, it's a lot harder to stay on task, you know, keep the kids on task. There are other things that go along with those family situations. So let's address them, but you don't solve that by saying, either throwing out the scores or saying, well, there must be racism here because we've got this disparity in scores. It's a lazy way of trying to solve problems, I think.
I agree.
Demonizes people.
And it's so many areas. You know, the woke ideology extends, I think, to other dimensions of human identity, such as sex today, you know, and it's now accepted that, hey, there's no significant difference between men and women. All the differences, and you know, it's, you know, that's sexism, you know, and if you say otherwise, it's misogyny. I mean, it's bizarre where we are right now, and this is not good for the future of the culture. This is not good for our country. This is not good for our children either, and I just think it's dangerous, and I don't know whether the church should be doing more, or we have to do more, or I guess it comes down to us as parents, Mary. You know, we have to be the primary educators of our children, and when they're young, it's still good moral values and teach them the truth. But what about those who say my kids have bought into this, you know, or the culture has indoctrinated them? I don't know what the antidote for it is right now.
Well, I think one is don't be afraid of your own kids. You've got to be willing to speak. And part of that is calling people to something higher than wokeness. The higher thing is, you know, what's charitable? What's true? What really is loving? And the truth is charitable and loving. And charity, in terms of really treating people the way the gospel calls us to, produces far better results. All this woke thing does is demonizes some, privileges others, and as I said, it's an ever-evolving, shifting thing because those who are in power dictate the terms. Yeah. And so at the very least, I think young people ought to realize the problem that happens when we shut down even any conversation. Yeah. So the shutting down of free speech, that's where I'm seeing some of the people from the left who ordinarily wouldn't may be sympathetic to some of the goals of wokeness, but are rebelling, saying this just is not healthy for a society where you're shutting down free speech and you're demonizing people for even stating facts,
yeah,
because
so
you're drawing some conclusion from them.
All right, let's.
Oh, the truth will set us free, right?
Amen. Amen. Let's grab a few phone calls. We have a few moments here. Peter's in Wisconsin. Peter, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mary Rice Hassan.
I just wondered if either one of you knew that the term politically correct speech comes out of Nazi Germany and communist Russia. If you didn't say the right thing, you might have a few people visiting you during the night and taking you away.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hey, great, Peter. Thank you for sharing that. I didn't know that came from the USSR. That's fascinating.
I didn't either, but I'll tell you, I have a friend who was an intelligence analyst for a while, and she started saying 7-8 years ago, she was watching this sort of the speech police and all this stuff, and she said, this is how totalitarianism, you know, takes root when you have this departure from the truth, and you have those in power exerting this control, propagandizing on the one hand and silencing on the other. So it is something that we need to take seriously.
You got it. Yanu is next. She's listening in Long Beach, California. Hi, Yanu.
Hi, Yana. Sorry. I'm saying to you, hi, Yana, to myself. Hi, Drew.
Hi.
I got so excited. I'm like, hi, Yana.
I love the name.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm calling about this woke. I think they got the wrong name. I think they should call it shut up. Because woke is something that we need to awake to something that it's good. And I was just talking to the gentleman who picked my phone, and I plus two is four, and now somebody will come and they say 2 plus 2 is 3, and that's my truth, and you have to believe now.
That's
and
so
you
true.
Would say like, that's insanity. 2 plus 2 was always 4. No, my it's 2 plus 2 is 5, and it's all these ideas that we who are normal now we have to accept that it's completely abnormal.
Hey, thank you for the call. It's a great point. And again, it goes back to what Benedict XVI said when he said, look, we live in this dictatorship of relativism. Your truth is your truth. Mm-hmm. My truth is my truth. I only have about a moment left for you, Mary. So let me give you the final thoughts here.
I would say we know what the truth is. Just as your last caller said, we can look at something and say, that's crazy. We need to have the courage of our convictions, treat people charitably, but speak up for the truth. Because when people speak the truth, you embolden others, you give people courage. We have to push back on this because it's disconnected from reality, and that's no way to live.
Well, Mary, thank you for being with us. If people want to get you, personandidentity.com, right? Best place to track you down? That sounds great. Always great to talk with you. Thanks for making time with me today.
All right, thanks so much.
Stay with me. When we come back, White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki said President Biden, well, he respectfully disagrees with the U.S. bishops who object to the administration using the bodies of aborted children for scientific research. Let me tell you what's going down. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. On Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
So good to be with you today. Did you hear what happened yesterday? The White House spokeswoman, Jen Psaki, was asked. As you all know, the administration just lifted the ban on researchers using fetal tissue from elective abortions. And the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the leaders of the president's own faith, said in reaction that it's deeply offensive to millions of Americans for our tax dollars to be used for research that collaborates with an industry built on taking innocent lives. How does the White House respond to that criticism? That was the question that she was posed. I would be a terrible White House spokesperson. I mean, how do you get around that one, right? So when she was pressed on the issue, here was her response, literally saying that the Biden administration disagrees with church teaching, and yet, okay? The president still professes to be a devout Catholic. Listen.
Okay, next question. As you well know, the administration just lifted the ban on researchers using fetal tissue from elective abortions, and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the leaders of the president's own faith, said in reaction, it is deeply offensive, quote, to millions of Americans for our tax dollars to be used for research that collaborates with an industry built on the taking of innocent lives. How does the White House respond to that criticism?
Look, I think the White House respectfully disagrees, and we believe that it's important to invest in science and look for opportunities to cure diseases, and I think that's what this is hopeful to do.
Excuse me while I throw up, okay? Just give me a minute here. Are you kidding me? Really, are you kidding me? Oh, it's important we invest in science. I don't disagree with that. But using human beings? Come on. Her response, look, I think the White House respectfully disagrees, and we believe it's important to invest in science. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We want one for opportunities to cure diseases. I think that's, this is hopeful to do so. I'm not disagreeing with the last part of your statement. I think it's good to look for opportunities to cure disease. I think it's important to invest in science. But you know what? You didn't really answer the question. You respectfully disagree? It's really hard for me to hear that statement. It is. We have a president who calls himself a Catholic. I know some people get upset when we talk about this, and forgive me, but I, as a Catholic, it frustrates me. It does. As a man who has his finger on the pulse of what's happening in our culture, I monitor, I observe, I report, I give analysis on. I try to do all that through the framework of our faith. Try to give a moral outlook on that. It's confusing. And I'll be direct with you. It's confusing to a lot of Catholics. Maybe your own kids or somebody else. The president calls himself a Catholic who is respectfully disagreeing with the bishops. How do you do that? Huh? This is not a prudential matter. Like, I disagree with you on immigration. I disagree with you on gun control. Okay, fine. I'm all about that. Disagree. You're more than welcome to do that. Those are prudential matters. This is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of how far down the slope we are willing to go in order to supposedly cure diseases. And what we're hearing, to me, it's much of what Joseph Mengele during World War II, during the Nazi concentration camps. I mean, I had a conversation with my producer and I were talking about this morning. We both agreed. We said, this is Nazism incarnate today. Back at the beginning of this month, Judicial Watch issued a press release with this title. And let me quote it for you. Judicial Watch obtains additional records of FDA purchases of fetal tissue for Humanized Mice Project. Agency wanted fresh, shipped on wet ice fetal organs. Now, excuse me if I am offending or in any way making you a little nauseous. That's just the reality. I was just reported that Stanford University was caught using aborted baby fingers in taxpayer-funded research. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Here's something else that not many people know. Those aborted fetal cell lines that have been used on vaccines have been used on modern drugs, either in development or in testing. How many of you take a Tylenol, right? I have. Or Advil, Motrin, Aleve, Sudafed. Your allergies kicking up, right? What about Benadryl or Claritin? What about Mucinex or Tums? Maybe it's your stomach, or Ex-Lax or Pepto-Bismol or lidocaine or hydroxychloroquine. I mean, the list goes on and on. And there's so many others. So that's why the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Secretariat of Pro-Life Activities, they've launched a campaign. And that's why I'm talking about this today. Not to throw stones at Joe Biden, although, I think he should be called out for his dissent, his willingness to disagree on matters that aren't just prudential, but they're matters of faith and morals. I do want to applaud the bishops. Many people throw stones at them. They say, they're not doing enough. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, they've launched a campaign urging Catholics to write letters to pharmaceutical companies, urging them to stop the use of abortion-derived cell lines in the development and the testing of these medications. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put a link up where you can find sample letters to send to those companies, okay? And I hope you'll take the time and do this. It's a small thing you can do. It's a small thing. But if everyone listening to me today did this, they would be inundated. Some will say, hey, come on. Cats, you know, already out of the box. It's too late, you know. I don't think it is. I don't ever think it is. And I'm joined today by Dr. Stacy Trusanko. She's the vice president of in science. And you can check her out at cogforlife.org. That's C-O-G for life.org. And doctor, always a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm so grateful for all that you're doing on this front. I know you sometimes feel like you might even be a lone voice out there, but I'm with you. And just thanks for raising the alarm and speaking the truth.
Well, thank you. And thank you for continuing the discussion. You're so right. It's never too late. We can't be in despair about it. We just have to keep speaking up about it and driving the conversation forward.
So tell me, for those who are listening, well, how extensive is the use of fetal body parts? It seems macabre. It seems like something that would be done, you know, out of some, you know, some illegal abortuary somewhere. But how extensive is the use of fetal body parts? And does anyone really have a clear idea on this? Maybe you don't. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do, because I've followed it for many years, and it is nothing new. It has been being done since even back in the 30s. There are reports in the 70s. You can find all kinds of scientific literature where they describe in the methods section how they dissect the bodies of these aborted children to use for medical research. And we could see this coming, even a year ago. There were, even with the ban from the Trump administration, there were still all kinds of university and private industry laboratories using the aborted children for research. And so the reversal of the ban isn't really going to change much. It's just kind of an acceptance in our country that this is okay. But it's been coming. It's been coming for a long time. You can go in the scientific literature any day and find a new report that is based on dissecting the bodies of these unwanted children that are killed in our country. And I want to use harsh words. I want to use strong words, because I want to convey the seriousness of this. It is already here. It's been here, and it's only going to get more, because little tiny human bodies are the gold standard lab rat for medical research.
My guest today, Dr. Stacy Trusanko. So if you want to join us, I'll open the phones. Love to hear from you. The number's 888-914-9149. Let's go to Nick listening in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Hi, Nick. You're on the air with Dr. Trusanko.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say a couple of things. One, every Catholic who voted for this socialist regime is at fault. This was on their hand. They voted for this. He is not a Catholic if he is disagreeing with their teaching. That's not Catholic. And number two, and I'm supposed to do this too.
Hey, Nick, I hate to do this to you, but we're having real difficulty hearing you. Are you on a speakerphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on.
Yeah, if you take, and then you can reset what you were saying. I mean, it was difficult to make.
There we go. Is that better?
It's 100%. Hey, great. Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yes. No, I had just said that every Catholic who voted for Biden and Harris, this is partially their fault. The blood's on their hands. They voted for this. They knew what would happen, and they voted for it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I wanted to say was, people like me, we're partially at fault too. I have never written a letter to these vaccine companies for research. I've never done that, but I think I need to start doing that. Just every Catholic who voted for him, this is on them. I did not vote for this man.
No. Well, yeah, that's
all I have to say.
Nick, thank you. I share your passion. When I watched the news, doctor, earlier in the when I watched the news, period, right, over the course of the past weeks, and I see the types of things that are happening, this incredible spending, this movement, all these executive orders for transgenderism, for advancing this woke culture, for the attack on life, the Mexico City. I mean, we can go through all this type of stuff. You know, I think we really reap what we sow. And I say this a lot, but I think the vote was so important. And I do think, I'm not saying, hey, you had to vote for Donald Trump, but I do think you have to look at these candidates and see where they stand. I'd love your thoughts on the administration, all the things they're doing And Nick's thought on that as well, because he's frustrated and he says, you know, the American people are getting what they voted for.
Yeah, it's no surprise. I mean, fetal tissue research was a big deal. We even knew back in the time when David Dalyden was releasing those investigative reports, those videos, it was already ingrained in the research community. I mean, to try to understand the perspective of the scientists who are doing this, if you want to do research on humans to find knowledge about how a human body develops from a zygote to birth, and if you want to figure out what causes genetic diseases, there is no better resource than the aborted bodies. And if abortion is legal in our country and there are thousands of specimens being produced every day, then they consider it unethical to waste those bodies. They tell the women who are going to receive abortions that they encourage them to go ahead with the abortion because at least you can donate the body to science. At least some good will come of it. And so the mindset is, if abortion's legal, it's more ethical to use these bodies than to waste them. And so there are literally tissue laboratories that are federally funded hubs for collection of fetal tissues that are distributed to scientists who need them. You can buy these body parts just like you buy any other kind of specimen for research. And they coordinate the whole thing. These things have to be processed very quickly after death so that the tissues don't start to decompose. And it's all coordinated, and it's available, and it's there. And, you know, here's the thing Catholics have to grapple with. We've already said it's okay to benefit from abortion if the need is grave enough. Well, if they're going to say this is going to save the lives of most pediatric deaths, how are we going to argue against it now?
Yeah, that's so true. A couple emails coming in here, too. I'm just reading them as they're popping in. It says, tell people they need to get involved in their local Respect Life program at your parish. That's a great idea. And here's somebody says, has anybody asked President Biden if he believes in euthanasia? Maybe they'll be able to use his body for science when they don't believe he is useful anymore. I mean, there's so much truth to some of those statements, too. I think it's a great point. I know Kim in Reno. Thank you for that email. MJ's listening in Houston. MJ, you are on the air with Dr. Trisankos. Good afternoon. I'm sorry I didn't click you on here. Restate it, MJ. I'm sorry. Hello? I didn't fire you up. Go right ahead.
That's okay. First of all, I wanted to thank you both for this great topic. And then I wanted some clarification. A minute ago, you named off several commonly used, some of them, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Several were prescribed and some were over the counter.
You know what? I'll tell you what, MJ, I'm going to give you a break. Hang on a second. Clear your throat. Get ready. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll give you an opportunity to follow up on your comment there, and if you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. If you want to join us, I'm in the twilight of the show, as I like to say, just a few minutes remaining, and if you want to join the conversation, you can get in at 888-914-9149, talking what happens with aborted fetal body parts and this current administration and a whole lot more. We'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Getting you connected. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Time is the enemy, as I like to say. We've got a few minutes left. Today, if you're on hold, thank you. I'll do my best to get you on the air. My guest today, Dr. Stacy Trisankos, we are taking a look at the use of aborted fetal tissue and body parts, really, and everything from you know medication to vaccines and so many other things. And Doctor, we'll go back to MJ, who is listening in Houston, okay. Texas. I think she had something in her throat. And MJ, I know that feeling. It happens to me all the time when I'm on the air. But it's good to have you back, so we'll let you ask your question.
Hi, MJ.
Well, I have to apologize for my coughing fit. I was confused. A minute ago, you named off several
over-the-counter medications, ibuprofen and so on. But then you also named off some prescribed medications. And here's my question. I believe I understood you to say that aborted babies are actually used on those medications for testing purposes as well. And if I understood that properly, then how is it that a person is supposed to know which ones are and do and don't use that?
That's such a great question. And I think you have a list. Go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, no, that is a great question. And so many people, MJ, are asking that same question right now because of all of the awareness raised over the last year about fetal cell lines. And here's kind of the way it breaks down. There are fetal cell lines. So it's cell lines that were derived from an abortion back in the 70s. There are cell lines that are used in pharmaceutical research. Most of those medicines that Drew listed, though, they were not developed using fetal cell lines. So the medicines were developed, like aspirin was developed, I forget, but decades ago.
Right.
Aspirin was developed. It's just somewhere along the way. So the people, the way this kind of happened is, in all the debate and controversy about fetal cell lines, some people were trying to make the case, well, it's used ubiquitously in all medications, so we shouldn't worry about it. But here's the difference. A lot of those pharmaceuticals were already developed. It's just along the way they did some tests with them to see how they worked in different capabilities. And I don't think that's nearly the same thing. So if you're going to use an ibuprofen or something, that's not the same thing as using something that wouldn't be here but for the use of aborted children. Yeah. So there is a difference there.
So
we're asking to make it known, though. Let us know so we can at least make our own judgment.
There was an article that I saw, and that's where I got some of this information from earlier today. Paphios did it, and they said, if any drug tested on HEK293 is immoral, goodbye modern medicine. And they make the case for a lot of these medications that are tested on that HEK293. Mm-hmm. And there's a list of medications that I had. Tylenol and acetaminophen was at the top of the list there. And they went through, and I think there was probably 20-some things. I only cited off maybe 8 of them. We're going to link over to it. If you go to our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show, follow us on Twitter. Jake's going to put the article up right now. You can see the list. It's up there right now, he told me. Also, follow us at Drew Mariani. Great to have you there. Good, doctor. You want to follow up on that or grab another call?
Well, just real quickly, that list is a little bit misleading because it's more making the point that they're used everywhere, so don't worry about it too much. The real point is there's a difference between drugs that are tested later with it for some ancillary reason versus drugs that wouldn't be here but for abortion.
Right. That's true, too. That's a great point.
So people don't freak out.
But here's the thing. I mean, that's part of the problem that I have. It almost seems like the cat is out of the bag. You know what I mean? It's just... You take a look at this list of medication, you take a look at the pharmaceutical companies, the money they're making, how much they've already invested. It's a lot of money to change course. I don't know how this gets corrected, you know, morally speaking.
I don't think it's going to be. I think this is the fact we have to live with. It's here. Yeah. I don't see how they're going to stop doing it unless, maybe abortion becomes illegal and nobody has them anymore.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do this. We'll grab a few more calls. Karen is in Darien, Illinois. She wants to sound off. She's got a question or a comment for you. Hi, Karen. You're on the air with Dr. Trusankis.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment that I don't think God would ever he'd never let a cure be found for a disease if using aborted baby cells. I think they're looking in the wrong place using aborted baby cells and just wasting their money. I think God would never let that happen.
All right. Doctor, you want to sound off?
Point.
We are
as Catholics going to be faced with this question of there will be cures that will be given to us by the medical community that will be built on the backs of these aborted children.
Yeah.
So it's coming. It's already here in a lot of ways. We just don't know about it because they don't tell us.
Yeah, that's so true. And I agree with that. I understand.
I could list them. I just know we're running out of time. So
yeah, that's fine. No, it's we'll go to our next call. We'll say hello to Maria listening in Chicago. Hi, Maria. Good afternoon.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I wanted to say, Dr. Trusankis, that, I remember just a few months ago, I'm hearing now that they're like some states, including the state of Illinois, which is where I live, where they're...
I think we lost her. Sorry about that, Maria. Uh-oh. Feel free to call back, and we'll get you back on the air here. I don't know what the comment is. So when she calls back, we'll get that. But I only have a few moments left here, too. And I do want to educate people on what the alternatives are. Cog for Life, I know you're behind that. Are there resources where people can read up on this and better understand the moral issues?
Yes. Yes. Children of God for Life, Cog for Life, is the foundation started by Debbie Vintage. And my husband is now running it. I still work for Bishop Strickland at the St. Philip Institute. And I'm on the board for Children of God for Life. And my husband, in his retirement, is now manning that station almost completely. And we have a lot of resources there, including statements that you can sign that are calling for it to be made known to us where aborted children are used in research so that we can at least make an informed decision based on our conscience and say no. And you know, because my husband and I, God love him, we talk about it all the time. It is our work together as a married couple to leave a better world for our children. And we're just never going to shut up about it. I just think people have to keep pounding that table and saying, I don't want to live in a country where we cure the wanted people with the dead, unwanted children.
Amen to that. God bless you both. Patty's listening in Wisconsin. Patty, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So it's more of a comment, but I was just very interested in like the idea of how art mimics life. And there's that movie, The Matrix, that came out several years ago where the machines are feeding off of like human bodies. You know, they're in kind of a state of unconsciousness. But it just really reminded me of how we're kind of doing that. Like the living people are kind of feeding off of or living off of, you know, the deaths of these babies by, you know, I don't know how to explain it better, but it just really thought it was a really odd thought that, you know, this is actually really happening. Maybe not how it looked in art, but it is really happening.
Yeah. It is really happening. I mean, some of the work we're doing is to put the research papers out that explain it. I mean, just one big project that's going on, kind of like the Human Genome Project. Yeah. It's a human fetal cell atlas, and they need hundreds and hundreds of children at different stages of gestation so they can look at the genetic development of the human body over the whole period of gestation. And so they're going to need lots of samples for that.
Yeah, we live in a bizarre time, and God has blessed us with intellect, with creativity, with medicine, with science, and we're unlocking a lot of mysteries. Judicial Watch Press, they released a story that I saw about, they were talking about humanized mice, right? We've got these animal-human experiments that are going on. I just heard the story about a monkey-human embryo that was gone as well. I mean, we're entering into some strange new territory, aren't we? I mean, what other kind of things are being done right now?
That, and they are able to grow human embryos on basically microscope slides in the laboratory, and they can grow them so long now that they're starting to differentiate, and they're, you know, they just keep ethically, it's nonsense because they just keep pushing back the envelope as far as they need to justify whatever they're doing. I mean, we have to get ready for it. We're going to see some really disturbing things unfold in our lifetimes as science marches along. It's why I say that Catholics need to become scientists so they can practice virtue in the lab, because you can't just do things because you can. You got to think about whether you should.
Yeah, no, I could not agree with you more. And again, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I have about a moment left. And, you know, just some simple things that we can do. And I always refer to prayer. I think it's the first thing that we can do because it will animate our work. But what's next? What in addition to that should those who are listening now do? We could sign those petitions that we pointed out and so many other things.
Run for office, raise awareness. I mean, my husband bought a share in some of the pharmaceutical companies, one share, so he can go to the meetings and voice complaints as a shareholder. But sending emails is good. And you know, I do encourage everybody to visit cogforlife.org because that's where we keep everything we're working on. But he calls the CEOs and marketing directors of these companies, and he, a lot of times they don't even realize how upset the Christian population is. Yeah. And, you know, the more we raise awareness, the more people make it known, we can influence what the market does. Absolutely. It happens every day. So, I mean, there's never been a market that wasn't influenced by the product that wasn't influenced by the market. So just keep making noise about it. Don't let it fall to the side because it's not as interesting or something else comes along. Keep an awareness about this issue.
Yeah, well, you keep up your good fight too, Doctor. Always a delight. Thank you for all that you're doing. People can follow you, of course, cogforlife.org. That's C-O-G for life.org. And that's Dr. Stacy Trusenko. Say a prayer for her and for her husband, too, who are on the front line trying to make a difference. And it's great to have you. We'll catch up soon, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, Doctor. And again, like I said, do pray for her. And look, let's pray for the president. Pray for Joe Biden. And it's not just him. I know he takes all the slings and the arrows, right? The reality is a lot of people behind him. I said this earlier today to somebody I was talking with. You know, there are people who are writing these policies, who are putting all this stuff together. He gets up there like an old-time anchor, and he reads a lot of the stuff. Although he has authority, and he does have power, and he does need conversion, as we all do. So let's pray for our president. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for one another. God's on our side. Who could be against us, right? Kel Clark is coming up. Stay tuned for him. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, have a great day. God bless.